Art of Chanting, Class 3. This chapter is the identity of the holy name. Yesterday, we heard about the value of Chintamani Nam and the story about the guru giving the greatest secret of bhajan to his disciple, the Maha Mantra. But then the disciple doubted that this was the greatest secret of bhajan because everyone's chanting, everyone in India is chanting. But then when he gave an example, he gave like a test and gave a ruby to the disciple and said, here, show these same people this ruby if they understand what it's worth. And they didn't understand the value at all. So without understanding the holy name, we can't appreciate its value. And that's why so much Shastra is written about the holy name. So many quotations, stories, teachings, Haridas and so many other teachers. So we have some understanding, knowledge of the holy name. It's called Sambandha Gyan. Because we have, Sambandha means relationship. The word Sambandha means to be completely bound. Bund. Bund means tied up, locked up, bound. Bund. Closed, bound. And Sam means completely. So Sambandha means something, means to be totally bound. And we have Sambandha with our body due to Kambhav. Due to our desire to enjoy, and we have a deep relationship with our body. A very strong relationship, right? We're thickly, tightly bound to our bodies. So we want to have a sambandha, nam sambandha. So this relation, any relationship is based on knowledge. Who am I related to? Who am I relating to? So this is why we have all these different shlokas. So then we heard also Mahaprabhu was saying that this is the best form of sadhana. And there are a few more points in that same regard from other scriptures. Hari Bhakti Suradaya says that Sankirtan is the best and foremost of all spiritual practices for attaining Krishna's mercy. If the other practices of bhakti are helpful to it, they should then be accepted. This is similar to your question. Brahmacharya was asking yesterday about, no, you or someone else, I forgot, the other one, I think, about reading. We're reading Bhagavatam. Is that, oh, that was that person from America, I think, that other person. He was asking, is reading Bhagavatam, is this an activity in itself, or is this contributing to the chanting of the holy name? Is this studying of Bhagavatam only helping us so we can chant? Of course, it's both. It's perfection in itself to relish the teachings of the Bhagavatam when we have pure consciousness. But the knowledge of Bhagavatam, which goes from Aishwarya again to understanding Krishna's greatness and finally understanding Krishna's sweetness. So the understanding of Krishna's sweetness is built on the foundation of Krishna's grandeur or his opulence. So that's why there's 9 cantos. There's 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam about Krishna's opulence, about Krishna's Aishwarya. So it's a fact that everything we're doing is helping us and purifying us and increasing our determination so that we can become absorbed in Naam Bhajan. Because our bhajan primarily in our Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Naam Bhajan. Everything for the holy name. Because the Naam is, our spiritual life begins with the holy name, it's maintained by the holy name. It's perfected, our spiritual life is perfected through the holy name, and holy name carries us into the spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that even when one gets Gayatri, if he receives Krishna mantra or Gayatri, those mantras retire at the par of Yom. They bring samsara mochan. They liberate one from the material world, but they don't continue in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, chanting Hare Krishna goes on and on and on. So we should make friends with the Maha Mantra. And that's what we were saying yesterday, that this is our first introduction to Krishna is in the Maha Mantra. So then Jivadharma is explaining that all 9, we mentioned this briefly, that all 9 forms of bhajan, which means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, are automatically carried out by performing Nam Bhajan. When one utters Sri Nam,
He is engaged in hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. As one continues to chant, one also remembers the pastimes of Krishna. And within the mind, one serves Krishna's lotus feet. So that's Padasevanam. He worships him. This is all going on inside the mind. That's Archanam. He offers prayers, Vandanam. He serves Krishna in the mood of a servant, Dasyam, or friend, Sakyam. And he offers one's very self, or you could say his very self, to Krishna, Atmanavedanam. Of course, sometimes this is described that these are the rasas, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Madhuryam. And Vatsalyam, to some extent, there's offering of the self, but nothing can compare to Atmanavedanam of the gopis. So this Atmanavedanam, which is the ninth limb of bhakti, offering the self, actually is most perfectly represented by the Braja gopis, because they offer everything, their words, their body, their mind, everything. They're the perfect sannyasis. They say a sannyasi is supposed to engage his body, mind, and words, kayo vak, mano vak, in the service of the Lord and be detached from everything else. So that's the gopis. They're detached from everything, and their bodies are fully engaged. Every part of their bodies, every cell of their bodies, every feeling of their bodies is engaged in the pleasure of Krishna. So this Saraswati Thakur explains that not only is this even nectar devotion, Rupa Goswami, he describes 64 limbs of bhakti, and then he narrows them down to 9 limbs, which Prahlad Maharaj mentions in the 7th canto, that famous verse we hear so many times, Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. And then he says, of all these 9, to make it simpler, there's 5. That makes it easy. Out of 64 to 9, 9 to 5. 9 to 5, so to speak. And then I only have to do 5 limbs. And then, of course, that was 500 years ago. Rupa Goswami narrowed it down to 5. But then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he said, well, let's make it even simpler. He narrowed it down to 1. And the 1, of course, includes the 5 ultimately. But the 1 is Nam Sankirtan. And he even explains how written within these 5, actually the intention or the unspoken intention of Rupa Goswami, is that although he's saying Panchanga Bhakti, 5 limbs of devotion, he's actually indicating Ekanga Bhakti. Ekanga means one limb, which is the chanting of the holy name. So then he very precisely explains how these are the 5 limbs, but the best practice is Nam Bhajan. And then he shows how Krishna's holy name is the root of all 9 forms of devotion and is glorified above all. So Nam itself, Krishna's holy name, is actually the root, is the root of this Panchanga Bhakti. Because what is Panchanga Bhakti? Sarusanga, Mathura Vastali, to live in Mathura Mandala or Vrindavan, to Srimurti, serve the deity with faith, with Shraddha, and Bhagavad Shravan, in Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga, in the association of Rasika Bhaktas especially, and then chanting the holy name. And this is it, right? So now he's explaining how each of these actually leads one to chanting the holy name. Sarusanga, associating with devotees. This is recommended for the practitioners of Nam Bhajan, because by associating with devotees, it will create a taste or an inclination for Srinam Bhajan. This comes from associating with holy saints who are attached to chanting Krishna's holy names with firm faith and who systematically chant the names. Systematically means Sankhya. It means Sankhya. And also there's a Nam Krama. There's a Krama in Nam Bhajan that they systematically meditate on Nam, Rupa, and Leela. But also that systematically means that you're associating with sadhus that are chanting a fixed number every day. Sankhya Purva Kagana Namanatabi. As the Six Goswami set the example, they didn't chant 10 rounds today, 16 rounds tomorrow, 32 rounds the day after tomorrow, then no rounds for 3 days, and then 5 rounds, and then 2 lakhs, and then relax. And then relapse. So no relaxing and no relapsing. steady as she goes, full speed ahead. Start with 16 as a minimum, as the Gurudev explained, this is the minimum. Then gradually increase, as we mentioned one time. Some devotees, they offer Krishna a birthday present every year on their birthday, because this is a tradition in Vedic culture. On our birthdays, our own birthdays, we give gifts to others. But in the Western culture, we expect everyone to glorify us and give us gifts and a big cake and a big meal and all those things. But in Indian culture, let's say Vedic culture, one would celebrate his birthday by feeding brahmanas and giving charity, giving gifts to brahmanas and begging for their ashirvad and blessings, and generally observing some fasting. You would fast that day. No cake and no dinner party and birthday party with candles and all these things. It was a very solemn occasion because, as Prabhupada aptly put it, 1 year older means 1 year closer to death. So there's nothing really to celebrate about. Oh, I'm 28. That means you're 28 years closer to death. When you're one, then you have a future. You have 69 years left. But when you're 28 and you're only going to live to be 70, that means, you know, there's not many left. 42 left. Counting. 41, 40, 39, 38, 10, 9, 8. Blast off. So this is the thing, that they would honor others. So when you, this is a Saru Sangha, is one of the Panchanga Bhakti, five limbs of Bhakti. But when you meet with sadhus, they're usually absorbed in chanting the holy name. Either singing kirtan or bhajan, or they're chanting japa. Or if you go to meet some sadhu, oh, where is so-and-so Maharaj? Oh, he's on the roof. He's chanting japa. Acha. Can I go there? Can I go there? Can I go on the roof? Ah, go ahead. Who's to stop you? He won't even probably know you're there. So then you go inside, you go upstairs or wherever the sadhu is, and you walk in the room, pay dandavats, and you see that this sadhu is absorbed in the holy name. Doesn't even know you came in the room. So it's all right, it's a good place to chant japa, right here at the side of this person's bed. They were sitting on their bed. So then we sat there for a couple hours, and still that wasn't... And I had to go somewhere, so I thought, okay, thank you. I paid a basis and left. Because he was absorbed in his non-bhajan. And I chanted 16 rounds, my minimum quota for the day, and then went on to do other things. But the point was that by associating with that sadhu, I got a little inspiration. Just hearing the holy name, which wasn't much to be heard. Only occasionally there would be something audible. It was quite quiet. But this is the idea that Siddhanta Saraswati is saying here, that invariably sadhus, when you meet them, they'll engage you in either Hari Katha or Hari Kirtan. This is the difference between a saintly person and a materialistic person. And this is the difference between a friend and an enemy. Krishna's Kaviraj says, a friend is someone who reminds you of Krishna. The best way to be reminded of Krishna is by hearing the holy name from someone, or hearing Hari Katha. And generally we talk Gramya Katha, village talk. Oh, how's so-and-so? Oh, did you see so-and-so? Oh, you came from Moscow. Oh, is it snowing? Is it cold there? Oh, it's very, very cold. Oh, that's good. I feel good. It's very, very cold, and it's very, very hot over here. So I feel good. I'm glad I'm sweating. I'd rather be sweating than freezing, or whatever, or maybe I'd rather be there. So this is all useless talk. So we should try to avoid such friendships and seek out friendships with people. Of course, we have some basic social intercourse, which is required for ordinary dealing. Not that we go around all the time and doing mon brata, because it might be a little impossible to carry on in normal society. As Prabhupada said, real silence means to always speak about Krishna. That's in Bhagavad Gita. So moreover, another thing that happens, or phenomenon, when we have sadhu sangha, which enriches our chanting of the holy name, is that some of the ras, if they're doing nam bhajan, and they're actually having ruchi, they're on the level, which is not a very high level. There's ruchi, then asakti, then then Vav, then Prem. Try to remember these things. So Ruchi is kind of the midway point, just beyond the midway point. It's like still a long way to go. So here, sitting with these sadhus, or saintly Vaishnavas, and hearing them chant, they're chanting, they're having some ruchi, some taste for the holy name. So taste means ras. If there's no water in your mouth, you can't taste anything. So water is rasa. Rasa hamapsakonteya. Krishna says, I am a taste in water. So this liquid, this water, this provides the vehicle for tasting some flavor, salty, bitter, sweet, sour, pungent. So when we say ruchi, when someone has nam ruchi, as a byproduct of his Vaishnav seva and his jiva doya, and his compassion and love for others, and which is expressed by preaching, bestly, so to speak, which is not really a word, but is best expressed by preaching. And this is the greatest help that anyone give is by preaching or giving transcendental knowledge. So then he's tasting his ruchi, so that means he's experiencing nam ras. So his vibration, his chanting is full of ras, nam ras. So nam ras is, you drink it. Like ras is liquid, you drink with your mouth. But this nam ras you drink with your ears. And when you're hearing an advanced, or let's say relatively advanced devotee chanting Hare Krishna, there's some nam ras mixed in his holy name. So when you sit with that sadhu, that ras will enrich your chanting, just like rasayana. Rasayana is a type of medicine. It's a tonic. It's called tonic. Do you know tonic in Russian? What tonic is? Tonic. Someone can speak. Tonic? You know tonic, yeah. Tonic, whatever you want to say. It's an elixir. It gives you, revitalizes your body and your cells, gives you more power, more strength, more enthusiasm. It increases the health, health booster. So this sitting with sadhu and hearing someone chant the holy name that's experiencing nam ras at the level of nam ruchi, and we listen to that, we will drink through our ears the nam rasayana. We'll drink through our ears this nectar, this ras will come through our ears, and that will make our enrich means make richer. That will strengthen our holy name, that will strengthen our chanting. Give us more enthusiasm, give us more determination, give us some taste also. Taste is contagious. Like if you have some disease and you contact someone, if you kiss somebody and you have disease, then typhoid Mary, you can pass on the disease to somebody else. So this ras can be shared. That's the whole purpose of Sankirtan, is to share the ras. Distribute the ras. When it rains on the earth, then the crops become nourished. The plants and crops, it's called crops, the plants and vegetables become nourished and they grow more luxuriantly and more healthily. So when conditioned souls or halfway conditioned souls hear Sankirtan, then it's like rain. It is like rain on their souls. It nourishes them. That's why it's so important. We have our Krishna Balaram temple, and every evening the kirtan is going on there. I mean, all the time, 24 hours, the Kanda Kirtan. So our God brother often sits there. I think everyone knows that person, Aindra Das. Can you forget such a person? He's quite a memorable person. And he's distributing Nam Ras free of charge. No charge, except surrender. And so this is very, very powerful. So this is Sadhu Sangha, how powerful it is. We just drop in, some sadhu is doing his bhajan, and we just drop in the middle of his bhajan. And then he pulls us into the bhajan. And then before we know it, we're drinking nam ras, or we don't even know it. And the second thing is Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the connection between Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashtapreshu Badreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya? What is the connection between our daily hearing of Bhagavatam and the chanting of the holy name? Anyone want to answer the question? Pastimes of Krishna are there, and the devotees are there, and we're getting the rasa of Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta ecstatic purports. And Manjari? You're getting Sambandha Gyan. You're hearing the classes very attentively also, because that was also mentioned, that we study Bhagavatam to get Sambandha Gyan, to strengthen, make a foundation. So that's a fact. We get so much knowledge through the stories, through the pastimes, and through the purports, which you both mentioned, the stories and the pastimes. What we derive from that is this knowledge, transcendental knowledge of Krishna and his devotees, and of devotion in general, and the different types of devotion, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. We learn about all these things. We get transcendental knowledge, which is jnana, which fixes our relationship with the holy name, which is sambandha. So that not this relationship is fixed on the basis of knowledge, service, and surrender. So this is basically how any relation is fixed. Any relation between two people is fixed and cemented by knowledge, surrender, and service, right? The more that you know the person, and the more you serve the person, and the more you surrender to the person, and the more your relationship becomes deeper and deeper. This is the whole basis of guru-shishya, guru-disciple relationship. Tavidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya vidakshantite jnanam ganinastapadarshanam. So we get sambandha jnan, but when we, another interesting point which Siddhanta Saraswati was making, which he wanted to make, in addition to what's been said, is that hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which itself declares Sri Nam Bhajan to be the highest virtue. So the Bhagavatam itself is actually glorifying this practice of Nam Bhajan. And because we're doing, we say, oh, really? I'm engaged in this Nam Bhajan. And look, it says here, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the middle of Bhagavatam, and at the end of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam repeatedly stresses the efficacy or the effect or power of Srinam Bhajan. So very early in the Bhagavatam, Etad Nirvidyamanano, it says, Etad Nirvidyamanano, there's one verse, it starts like, I can't remember just now, but it says, Yad Vibhati Swayambhayam. He says that it's glorifying, and just in the first canto, glorifies Nam Bhajan by chanting Hare Krishna. It is the effortless way to success, spiritual success, just by chanting Nam. Then the whole middle of the Bhagavatam, there's 12 cantos, the middle is 6th canto. And the 6th canto, the whole story of Ajamil is there. And that's certainly all about chanting the holy name, Narayan. And he's teaching what benefit you get from Namavas, chanting without offense. He was destined to go to hell. And the Yamadutas are waiting, eagerly waiting, gnashing their teeth and grinding their fingernails or whatever, waiting to whisk him off to hell, various sordid punishments. And then he saw them and he thought, whoa, wait a minute, Jack. Who are these guys? Narayan! He called out his baby, his little baby, his number 10 child. He had 10 children. He called out, Narayan! Thinking that his 5-year-old baby could do something with these guys. This 5-year-old baby could take on these Yamadutes, whip them down, kick them upside the head. Because he just called out of fear whatever the strongest samskara he had. His attention and consciousness went to his strongest samskara. So this is called sneha. Sneha means the downward flow of affection. Water rushes down the mountain. So affection usually goes downward to the last child. The youngest child, he gets the most affection from the parents. So he was the last child, so he got the most affection, which means affection usually brings attachment. The more the affection, the more the attachment. That's why Prabhupada said that grihastha life is a very interesting art. Grihastha life means to learn the art of showing affection without attachment. And remember, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Although this proposal may sound impossible. To show affection for your wife and daughter and your mother-in-law, but not be attached. And that's only possible if we are attached to the big boy, Krishna. The big girl, Radha. So this is the only way out. So this Bhagavat, the Bhagavatam, the very last verse of the Bhagavatam mentions Nam Sankirtan. The very last verse of the 12th canto, it mentions that one should engage, one should offer his head at the feet of Nam Sankirtan and surrender his life in all humility and always perform Harinam Sankirtan. This is the final word of Vyasadeva, the final word of the Vedas, because the Bhagavatam itself is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is a summary of all the Vedas. So the Bhagavatam is the conclusive statement, conclusion of all the Vedic literatures, all the Shrutis and Smritis and Puranas and Itihasas and Upapuranas and Mahabharata and Ramayana and everything. And then the final word and the last word, the last thing I want to say before I close this class, the last verse of my 18,000 verses is Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gati Ramyata. That is the conclusion of the Bhagavat. It starts off in the first canto, chanting is a perfection. Then it explains all different types of stories about people that were chanting or serving or worshipping different levels of purity. And then it comes to Ajamiyo, which is a fantastic story about the incredible potency and power of the holy name. And then it goes on to, that's called Namabhas. But then as the Bhagavatam goes on, then the seventh canto, you have actually Shudanam. Shudanam is being chanted by Prahlad. But he's a Gyani Bhakta, although he's chanting Shudanam, but he's a Gyani Bhakta, and he's happy with that. He's happy with Krishna Gyan. So he's considered Shanta Bhakta. So that's the beginning of Shudanam there. And then it goes on, then we get to the 10th canto, and then we get then deeper kind of Shudanam. Shudanam and Sakyaras, Shudanam and Vatsalyaras. Hey, Damodar, hey, Yashodanandan, hey, Lala, come here. Then you get Shudanam and Madhurya Ras, or the Gopi Geet. Gopi Geet are chanting, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. In the Viraha Gita, chapter 39 of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the gopis are chanting these three words, Govinda Damodar Madhav. That verse is there. And from that verse, the Bhagavat, Bilvamangala Thakur compiled his Govinda Damodar Stotram, which that's the refrain. Every line is da 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 da, Govinda Damo, like this. It's a very beautiful stotram. And it ends like that. So many verses, 100 verses or so. You know that verse? Govinda Stotram, you know that by Bilvamangala Thakur. It's a very beautiful bhajan. It ends, each line ends with Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. So that's the Bhagavatam. It's all about Nam Bhajan. Gopi Geet. Geet, what is Geet? Geet is song. Viraha Geet. Geet is song. Brahmar Geet. Geet is song. Chanting is singing. Right? This is Bhajan. Gopi Geet, Venu Geet, Viraha Geet, Brahmar Geet, Pranaya Geet. I think there's six Geets. There's six Geetas in the 10th canto. So someone says, oh, what are you studying? Oh, I'm studying Gita. That's a good line for ISKCON members. Oh, Savya Sachin, what are you doing at Radhakon? What book are you reading? Oh, I'm studying Gita. Oh, very good. Very good boy, good boy. Tehino shvinyata dehi komaram yovanam jara. Sarva dharman pritteja. Yes, yes, yes. Geet, geet. Then it's like Ashvatthama, the elephant, is dead. Yes, I'm studying the Geet. Gopi Geet, Vena Geet, Brahma Geet. Now the third one is Mathura Vas. Mathura Vas, Srinam Bhajan. So what is the relationship between living in Braj Mandal and the chanting the holy name? That's pretty easy. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from the holy name. You can't even sleep. The holy name is so generous. The holy name is so munificent. The holy name has so much audharya. This audharya means generosity of Mahaprabhu, audharya lila, audharya nam, that he doesn't want anyone to sleep. As soon as you go to sleep, then the loudspeakers will come on. Oh, it's our Gurudev's Tirubhav. And then the next week, it's his Gurudev's Tirubhav. And then the week after that, it's somebody else's Gurudev's Tirubhav. Then it's Ram Nomi. Then it's Krishna Janmashtami. Then it's Gaur Purnim. Then it's this. So every night, there's some occasion to blast off the speakers all night long. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna. And in Ramanreti area, it's only this Nimbarki. And here and there, it's Maha Mantra. So this is the mercy of Mathura. Like I met some devotees from Germany. They said, Maharaj, I don't come to Vrindavan to do bhajan. I just come to Vrindavan to roll in the dust and meet some sadhus and take a few holy baths and do puja at the different holy places. Well, when I want to do bhajan, I go back to Germany. It's nice and quiet. And I can hear my brain. I can meditate a little bit. And there's no loudspeakers. It's against the law. And it's a very quiet place. I prefer doing bhajan in the Alps rather than the Govardhan. I said, okay, carry on. We're crazy, but we'd rather stay here. So Nam Bhajan is situated at the root of residence in Vrindavan or Sridham Mayapur, which I think we've already established by our anecdote. This is the root of the mool, the vasmool, the root of it all is that you can't escape the holy name, even if you want to, even if you don't want to hear Hare Krishna. I don't want to hear any Hare Krishna. I don't feel good. I'm just tired of this. Sorry, Jack. Hare Krishna! All night long. And you can put in this ear stoppers, earplugs, and headphones, and still, the holy name is so merciful, it will penetrate all those earplugs and all those headsets and go right through. Because I know, because I lived in Gopal Mandir for 10 kartiks. On the top of the roof. And that's where all the speakers are mounted, on the top of the other roofs. And they're all aimed at other roofs. So Shamasundar Mandir, they had their speakers. And then this Giriraj Mandir on the Radhakund side, that's Tinkuri Baba's ashram. And then Gadadhar Chaitanya, he had his blessing off his. And they're all aimed at Gopal Mandir. Arivo! So merciful. The sadhus living in or visiting these holy places are always engaged in Nam Sankirtan. Enough said. They're really engaged. So this is the mercy. In fact, it's told that in Navadvipa especially, in the three dhams, we can get perfection in different ways. In Vrindavan, it's told that prema awaits one who worships the dust of Vrindavan. Uddhava Mahashaya, he's praying to the dust of Vrindavan, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. They're praying to become particles of dust over here. And they come down every afternoon when Krishna's having his Boma Leela. They come down every afternoon, or maybe even now, but at least when he's having his Boma Leela, they came every afternoon to roll in the dust of the cows and Krishna. Because if you want to enter Vrindavan, you can only enter Vrindavan by the mercy of the devotees. Krishna's mercy and the mercy of devotees. So the devotees understand this. So they roll in the Goduli. It's called Goduli. Or Charanduli. Charanduli. Krishna Charanduli. Krishna Paraduli. The Duli. Even that time of day, when the cows are coming back in Braj Mandal during Krishna's time, they used to call that Goduli Kal. Goduli Kal. The time of dust in the air. The time when there's thousands of cows, and it was called Goduli. Goduli, Goduli Kal, or Samai, or whatever. The time cows returning from the pasturing grounds, because they were excited. When they went out a little slow. When they went out in the morning, they walked a little slow. When they came back in the evening, they go a little faster, because Krishna was in a hurry to get the varsana. And the cows would know it, so they move fast, so Krishna could quickly come from Govardhan, pass through varsana, and see Radharani. Because everyone's connected.
I think still the cows move faster at 4 o'clock when they come back. When you see, the cows still come faster than going time.
That's a fact. And Mother Nishinga is saying that, having lived here for so many years, and I've also observed the fact that you can practically, even nowadays, even Krishna's not here, but or at least he is here. Krishna is here. He never takes a step out of Vrindavan. But maybe that's also to remind us that he is here, because even now you can see this phenomenon. When the cows go out in the morning, they go out really slow. Mm-hmm. Just like when you go to work really slow. When you come home from work, you go really fast.
because no one likes to go to work, but everyone likes to come home. So even the cows, they don't like to go to work. They have to go out and chew all that grass. And when they want to come home and see their babies, like you want to come home and see your babies, like, right? So they want to come home and see their babies. Because the babies don't go out to the pasture, only the mothers go. Right? Because if they go out, then there's no milk. So this is Vrindavan. Now, Sri Murti Seva. What is the connection between serving Thakurji, serving a deity, and the holy name? The service of Krishna's deity is always conducted with mantras full of God's names. The Hari Bhakti Vilas and Sri Jiva Goswami say that deity service must be accompanied with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra for it to be accepted. So they go quite far. Because Vaishnavas have been doing deity worship for a long time, millions of years. And there's all kinds of ancient books written by Narada Muni and others. Rig Veda contains so many mantras for puja and yajna. So in those books, Narada Pancharatra and other Pancharatrika literatures, it describes so many mantras for doing Thakurji puja, Murti puja. And always, there's usually a bija mantra, whatever the mantra is, idam pushpam kling Krishnaya namaha, idam pushpam kling Narayanaya namaha. There's always the bija mantra of the Thakur that you're worshipping, which is directly the name of God. So you're offering of whatever you're offering with, you combine that with the bija mantra. You're offering flower plus mantra, oil plus mantra, boga plus mantra, everything plus mantra, right? This is a, so that there's the mantra. So there, if you're doing any type of Murti puja, you have to chant Nam. Nam Sankirtan is there automatically. Idam pushpam, that's pushpam means flower. Idam pushpam, then that you don't stop there. You have to say Sring Radhikaye Swaha or Namaha or Kling Krishnaya Namaha, like this. You have to chant the bija mantra. So that's what it's saying. But even further than that, or you could say if you're on the level of Bhav Marg or in Rag Marg, and you don't want to be burdened down with all these things, but even then, generally, they enjoin that we should learn these mantras. But one may just continually chant Hare Krishna, because that's the supreme mantra, Maha Mantra. And that's what Jiva Goswami is saying in Hari Bhakti Vilasa. When we're doing puja, it must be accompanied by the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So whether that can mean before you have Nam Sankirtan. Generally, what Vaishnavas do, they engage Nam Sankirtan and Japa before they do puja. Then you do puja and chant all these dravya, these what do you call it, sotasachara, these mantras for offering the 16 items, individual mantra for each item. And then they chant the bija mantra, which is Nam Sankirtan, Govinda Nam, Krishna Nam, Radha Nam. And then afterwards, after puja, then again there's kirtan. So in this way, the puja is sandwiched in between Nam Sankirtan. This is Gaudiya Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava approach to puja. So therefore, Sri Murti Seva is all about Nam. Then the final one is Nam Sankirtan, which is directly chanting the holy name. So this is the whole idea of hearing all this is to increase our faith and understanding that everything, Nam Bhajan is everything. And also you can see when you can look, you can examine our different practices and see how that the holy name is actually there. When we're reading a Bhagavatam, look for the holy name in the different stories. Look for the holy name in the different verses, and you'll see. You'll see so much, there's prayers by different kings and demigods to the Lord. And there's so much Nam is there. Achyuta, oh Achyuta, oh Govinda, oh this, oh that. Right? So this is Nam is throughout all the Sanskrit shlokas. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone study Bhagavad Gita. How many different names of Krishna are there? Rishikesh, Madhav, Madhusudan, Janardhan, or Parthasarathi. But the name, they're actually in the verses. So many different names are there. Excuse me? Govinda. Yes, yes, that's also there, Govinda. So these are all very wonderful names of the Lord. And so the Bhagavad Gita is full of Prem Nam. It's full of Braja Prem Nam. Of course, these names can also be alluding to or connected to Vishnu Roops.
As I mentioned, there's 24 forms of Vishnu. One's called Govinda, one's called Madhusudan, one's called Trivikram, one's called Damodar. But from our viewpoint, when our conception, our mantra artha, our conception of these mantras is Vrindavan. And when Arjuna's saying Damodar, it means that Damodar was bound up by Mother Yashoda. When I'm saying Govinda, it's that flute player that satisfies the senses, gives pleasure to the senses of the gopis and all the Vrijabhasis. And Madhusudana, who is that Madhusudana? Is that one of the forms of Vishnu? Because it's one of the 24 forms of Vishnu is named Madhusudana. No, that's that Krishna who drinks the sudha, who drinks the honey sudha. Madhu means honey and sudha means nectar. He drinks the nectar, the sweet nectar from Radharani's lips. That's Madhusudana. Because sudana also means killer, the killer of the Madhu demon, Madhu and Kaitav. The whole conclusion is that all the nine forms of bhakti can be done by chanting the holy name, and the root of the panchanga is Nam. Yes, this is a fact. What everything I said, because Brihad Bhagavatamrita also explains the position, how Prahlad Maharaj is a Gyani Bhakta, but he's also Shuddha Bhakti begins there, but it's Gyan Mishra Bhakti. And his Nam is Shuddha Nam, but you can see that there's no Dasya Bhav there, because he never rendered any personal service. So here, this last point we'll mention to close this class is Mahasadhanam. How I mentioned this in the introduction, we were saying how there's a verse in Bhakti Sandarbha that says a chanting of Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name is a Mahasadhana. It is the greatest form of sadhana, Mahasadhanam. So this is that entry from Bhakti Sandarbha number 270. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, chanting the holy name is not only the greatest form of sadhana, but it must accompany every other form of devotional service. Quote, chanting the holy name of Krishna is the chief means primary, most important means, of attaining love of God. This chanting does not depend on any paraphernalia. Paraphernalia means anything. Doesn't even depend on beads. Beads are a type of paraphernalia. Paraphernalia means objects, items, things. Nor does it depend on birth in a good family. Well, that's a relief. That's a relief for all of us, Anaryans. All the Vedas proclaim that by humility and meekness, which seem to be the same to me, but by humility and meekness one attracts the attention of Krishna. Therefore, chanting Hare Krishna is the greatest sadhana, Mahasadhanam, and the fulfillment of all sacrifice, penance, and austerities. So anything, in other words, what they're saying here is that if you're following the path of Karmakanda, which they do home and yagyas, or if you're following the path of Gyanakanda, where they do so many sacrifices, or you're following or penances, austerities, or you're following the path of yoga, sadhana, Ashtanga Yoga, where they do so much tapasya, that's all accomplished. All of what they could accomplish there is the fulfillment. That's why it's a Mahasadhana, because they're doing their yoga sadhana. Yoga also has their sadhana, Kriya Yoga and all these different sadhanas they do. Ashtanga Yoga sadhana, Gyan sadhana, there's so many sadhanas. But this is the Maha, the greatest of all sadhanas, because it gives the fulfillment. Fulfillment, it gives whatever you could get from those other pursuits, you'll get by chanting Hare Krishna. Simply by chanting, says Sri Jiva Goswami, one achieves ecstatic love of God, not static. Ecstatic. Cross out the static. Ecstatic. Love of God. And complete perfection in life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied with the chanting of the holy name. End of quote. Bhakti Sundarvat, number 270. So here, as we mentioned in that small story we told the other day about our beginning days in ISKCON, carrying out the trash, and some Brahmin was telling us, unless you're chanting along with carrying the trash, it's not devotional service. It wasn't sufficient to carry out the temple garbage can. He said, you have to chant Hare Krishna. So little did he know that he was citing the Bhakti Sandarbha. He was telling me basically the principle of Bhakti Sandarbha. Whatever we're doing, it should be joined with chanting Hare Krishna. We're sewing, we're cooking, we're cleaning, we're doing puja, whatever thing, anything we're doing besides chanting Hare Krishna should be done along with the holy name. Yeah, well, here we're talking about sadhana. You're talking about siddha. There's a difference between sadhana and siddha. Haridas Thakur is siddha. He's a namacharya. And the Goswamis are siddha. They're perfect. And still, to set the example, they're chanting for 12 hours a day. At least Haridas was chanting 12 hours a day, 3 lakhs. And the Goswamis were chanting 4 hours a day, 1 lakh. That's Sankhya Purvaka. So that was to set the example, because that's their exemplars, their acharyas. They're teachers, but they're siddha. But all the things that we're reading about are inducements for us to, this is the mahasadhana, that we should take it up and make it become passionate about chanting. And until we become siddha, and the point of siddha, when we become siddha, then the chanting may be in the background, but in the foreground will be lila smaranam, or manasi seva in our siddha deha. That will be in the foreground. But until we get to that platform of siddha or perfection, they were called sadhaks, we're practitioners. So we should chant, we can't, it's anusaran and anukaran. We should follow the footsteps of the Goswamis, not imitate them. So, oh, they chanted 1 lakh and then they did lila smaran. So I'll chant 1 lakh and do lila smaran. That would be nice. I mean, if you do chant 1 lakh, you'll probably be able to do some lila smaran. At least become qualified very soon to do lila smaran with a purified mind and fixed intelligence. So this is the point. These are all instructions for us. The books are the teachers. Krishna is coming not to teach the siddhas, but to teach the sadhakas. And the books are written for us, and all the teachings of Haridas are for us, not for him. Because he only chanted 12 hours a day. So what did he do the rest of the time? Did he sleep? What did he do? He slept? No, he was associating with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami when they were living in Puri and they were discussing Hari Gita. And he was reading, Rupa was reading a Lita Madhav to him, and he was crying in ecstasy hearing it. So, and as far as the position of Haridas Thakur, what he had attained, and that I can't really comment on. But generally, it's told. I have heard acharyas say the six Goswamis were on a much higher level than Haridas Thakur. Because Haridas Thakur is generally considered to be a combined form of Lord Brahma or Prahlad Maharaj. So in either case, they're both Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. Brahma is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, and so is Prahlad. You can understand that by studying Brihad Bhagavatamrita. By Sanatana Goswami. But if you look at the six Goswamis, they're Kaya Vyuha of Srimati Radharani. They are expanded from the Swarup Shakti, the spiritual body of Srimati Radharani. So therefore we can understand that their type of Nam Bhajan and their type of Smaran was much deeper, much more profound than Prahlad Maharaj's. Because he was on the level of Shanta Ras, not on the level of Madhurya Ras. There's one verse that's in my book here, I can't remember where it's from, but it's from the Puranas. It said, One can only be automatically and spontaneously attracted to chanting the holy name of the Lord if he has practiced chanting Hare Krishna in 100 previous births. So think about that. So of course we have the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and without that we're sunk. So I don't know about trying to imitate Mahaprabhu or be in such an ecstasy that he's experiencing, but we should try to embody his teachings, especially the third verse of Shikshastakam. Trinadapi sunichena turori vasahishana amanina manidena kirtine sadahari. And if we can just do that, if we can just become humble, which is practically takes 5 or 10 births, then if we become humble, then the holy name will always be coming out of our mouth. Some type of holy name. Some type of holy name. Maybe aparadnam, but something will be coming if we become humble. And then let's begin there. and then talk about ecstasies and flying in the sky and later on.